Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where every week I keep you updated on the latest trends and how-tos in coworking. I owned and operated coworking spaces for 8 years and then served as the executive director of the Global Workspace Association for 5 years. And today I work with hundreds of operators and community managers every month, allowing me to bring you thought-provoking operator case studies and inspirational interviews with industry thought leaders to help you confidently stay on top of what's important and what you can apply to your own role in the coworking industry. Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast. This is your host, Jamie Russo. Thank you for joining me today. Lots going on. It is March, crazy, and we have Juicy coming up. I am co-hosting a course on fundamentals of finance. I probably should look at the title. I teach this content all the time in my startup school, so I confess I have not started prepping yet, and I'm co-hosting it with Giovanni Pallavicini, my co-host on the Flex Uncensored podcast, and he is not one to prepare. So if I don't drive it, then he's super responsive. He's awesome to work with. I should say that. And he's really awesome at what he does. And he has a, he never mentions this, so I have to out him. He has a master's in real estate finance. So he's all over the numbers, but he does not like to spend his time in spreadsheets. So he has partners that he works with on that. I do kind of love spreadsheets. I also have my master's minor is in finance. I think it's finance and entrepreneurship. So the two of us are all about the numbers and making sure you know your numbers before you do a deal. So if you're going to be at Juicy and you're going to be at the, I think it's fundamentals of Flex track, then we'll see you there. That's the first week of April in Salt Lake City. Flights are getting expensive. So if you haven't booked, book yours. I had a book on Delta instead of United because I just booked mine last week and they were already kind of pricey. So get in there if you haven't and you're planning to go. There's also the GWA conference in September in Phoenix. Speaking of Phoenix, I am hiking the Grand Canyon from rim to rim. If any of you have done this and have pro tips, please send them. From what we understand, this will take roughly 14 hours. We're going from north to south, I think. We're only doing one way, although I'm doing it with two girlfriends. My friend Kathleen, interestingly, I was in Italy with my friend Kathleen on September 11th, which was a wild experience to be out of the country in that event. But we are great travel partners. And she recently had dinner with a friend who said, oh, I'm doing that same route, but I'm going back and forth in the same day. And we were just like, what do you mean? How could you even do that? One way, he was like, well, we're going to run it. So yeah, we're in pretty good shape. I would be surprised if somebody can do that. And we're going to just walk it one way is our plan. So somebody today said, I told one of our, there's three of us going, the other woman, Barb, that we should have poles for going downhill. So I might have to add that to my packing list. I've been super hilly where I live. So I've been hiking around in my 20-pound weight vest, not super long, mostly walking the dogs with it on, which makes me look kind of ridiculous. I've probably mentioned that a couple times. Good luck to anybody who's doing the open, who's listening. I am not actually enrolled this year. I just cannot handle the logistics. I'm trying to be a little bit essentialist in my life, but I'm already having lots of FOMO and feeling like I have to figure out how to make CrossFit work in my life. My CrossFit gym is 20 minutes away. So I work out at home a lot. I go there occasionally once a week-ish. And that is similar for coworking, right? If it's too hard to get to, people are not going to come. So your radius is pretty tight. Keep that in mind. Okay. What are we talking about today? I want to mention one other thing. I was just reviewing the resource that we're delivering to our Community Manager University members this month. It is sales month. We have themes for the year. We have themes for each month. And we are creating playbooks. And we got this idea from one of our members, and I hope to have the owner on the podcast. I'm not sure it was the owner as much as it was the previous community manager who kind of put together playbooks for their team. And I was like, yeah, we need playbooks because We created the community manager program 4 years ago, at least. So we've been running this for a long time. So any of you who have been thinking about it, you should give it a try because it is excellent. I will just say we update it all the time. And we're kind of going back through right now and figuring out how do we make the content just really accessible and organized. We have this tremendous library of training and we put it into specific buckets. But even from there, how do we provide resources that people could really digest very easily and just kind of run with? So we've been doing live training each month, and the live training so far is coming with a playbook, which is like download it, put it in your binder, read through it, and keep it as a resource. And it's got templates. Okay, so in January, we did a member events playbook. And that thing, you could literally run your whole year from strategy to tactics to, like, we mapped out a whole lot of member event ideas. If you don't want to think about it, you could just use our entire playbook. It's a great place to start. So March is sales month. So we're doing sales for the non-salesy community manager. So we teach about the sales funnel, which a lot of community managers like have not visualized, even owners. So helping them get that sort of mental model in their brain, how they drive leads to the top of the funnel, which is not typically a community manager role, but sometimes, and it's helpful for them to understand, you know, how that process works and their role in making sure you don't lose leads, right? Because they're probably controlling a fair amount of the funnel, like tour scheduling, the process of following up with folks that schedule tours, giving the tours, following up on tours. You might have a sales resource on your team if you have multiple locations, but for sure the community manager is involved, giving tours that convert. And we spend time talking about really how to deliver a great tour. We might think this is sort of intuitive to really good community managers, but like anything, if you're intentional, you can have higher conversion rates and potential members will be able to tell who's intentional and who's like, it'll reflect your brand. So what to ask at the start of the tour. We are not overriding your tour script, by the way. We're very careful about that, but just, and I will, I'll start moving to these, but strategies for closing a sale, raise your hand if you've trained your community manager on how to close the tour, what questions to ask, what approaches might work for closing. So we have a number of different closing strategies and phrases that you can use at the end of the tour. We have scripts for following up. We just added this great resource and thanks, shout out to Trisha Teague. I had a call with her and she was like, okay, we think we're missing a couple of aspects of our member journey. I was like, oh, I have a tool for you. It's in the updated startup school, which she went to, but I was like, let's put it in the community manager sales training. And it's a perfect, just, it's a graphical path of the member journey that walks through it step by step. So it's a great opportunity to see what's missing, what can you add, email templates. And then I wanted to get to, okay, so our live training is around personas. So not so much your ideal customer avatar, but what types of people might walk through the door? What do they need? So it's going to be interactive and we're going to have some good participation and just really help people think through, okay, how do I approach people differently, potential members differently as they come through the door based on their sort of overall profile. So we have the startup team, the freelancer, the remote corporate employee, the digital nomad, the creative, the social entrepreneur, and more. So there's a whole bunch of them, and you would have some common ways of approaching these folks, but you would have some nuances as well. So we're including that. We have a section on how to get social proof and client testimonials, and part of that will be Google Business Month in March. Anyway, even if you don't join Community Manager University and you want to put some of this in place yourself, hopefully that walkthrough was helpful in terms of thinking about things you might want to train your team on if you want to create your own training and develop that in-house. If you don't, check out our membership at everythingcoworking.com/community manager. Okay, what are we talking about today? We are talking about making sure you test your offers before you send a lot of traffic to them. So this was inspired by a call I had last week, which was super interesting. A woman who's in marketing, and you can tell she's very thoughtful and intentional. I also have a marketing background, although mine was more like brand management. And I remember, we'll talk about it in a second. Anyway, I study marketing a lot. We're in the customer acquisition business, right? If you have a co-working space, you are in the hospitality business, but also you need new customers every month because you will have churn. And so you're also in the customer acquisition business and have to know that process really well. So last week, if you missed it, we talked about adding some urgency and maybe some scarcity to your offers, whether you're just launching your space or whether you're already in business and you're trying to get those fence sitters to convert. So you want to make sure, though, that the offers that you're promoting are really good, that you've got your messaging right, and that you've tested. Most commonly, you're going to be driving folks to a landing page. So we're going to talk about that today. Okay, but I want to start with some of the basics. So what do we mean by conversion? So in the co-working realm, this might mean anything from someone completing an inquiry form on your site or booking a tour. You know, I hate forms. Or signing up for a membership. Most of us don't have e-commerce for memberships on our site, or we don't expect it to get used very much. It might be booking a meeting room. That kind of e-commerce is awesome to have on your site. So we want, it's whatever action we want people to take. So that is going to be different based on where the customer is in their journey. But we're going to focus a little bit today on landing pages. So let's talk about landing pages, which is kind of a key player. Most of your marketing is essentially digital marketing because you're driving folks to a website in order to make that conversion. You're not really driving people to your location. That's further down the sales funnel, right? But the top of the funnel is really digital. It's either your Google business listing or it's your website. So you are really focused on conversions in the digital realm, and you want to drive people to your website or, more ideally, to a landing page. Now, I can remember when I first opened my first space in Chicago in 2012, one of my first members was, he had a social media agency, but he was really like a demand gen guy. And so he was very focused on lots of things that I knew nothing about. Like I said, my background was in product marketing. After business school, I worked for what was Kraft Foods, is now Mondelez. So I worked on brands like Crystal Light and Stovetop. I was in the cheese division for a while. So we did Cheese Whiz so that kind of marketing. And so this was like my first real introduction to this type of marketing. So he was like, okay, I think he was advocating that I needed to run Google ads. And I think he was probably right, except in 2012, I'm not sure what the search volume would have been on Google ads. And I had no budget for marketing, which is why in our startup school, we really, really focus on make sure you're coming to the table, depending on what kind of market you're in, with a Google ads budget or some other demand gen type of budget. But I was not prepared for that. And so he was like, okay, you can't send people just generically to your website because it won't convert. They'll get lost. They'll get confused. They won't take the actions you want to take. He's like, you need the landing page. And at the time being like, I had no idea what a landing page was. And I'm so used to this language now that I don't think twice about it. But if you don't know, you're not alone. So it's essentially a standalone web page crafted specifically for a marketing or advertising campaign. It is not in the context of the rest of your website. You want a visitor to land on it after clicking on a link from an ad or an email, or you're driving people there from social or from a yard sign or from a billboard. Whatever the funnel is, this is where you're sending people. So the goal here is really focused. It's you want the visitor to take an action, which is usually booking a tour for us, or it might be signing up for a free day pass, or it might be booking a meeting room, whatever you're trying to accomplish with this campaign. So I want to share, for those of you watching on YouTube, I'm going to share an example from Haven. Thank you, Felicia, in advance. I know she's running ads, and I knew she would have landing pages because she works with Ruben, and Ruben requires landing pages, and because he knows that they work. So if you Google meeting rooms in Darien, Connecticut, you will get the landing page for Haven. Let me show this on my screen real quick for those of you watching on YouTube. And I'm going to just walk through it real quick because I think it's that important. Okay. Do you see any navigation? No, you do not. There is no navigation. You cannot click on the Haven logo. You cannot click on About Us. You cannot click on blog. You cannot click on anything except booking a meeting room. Okay, so Darien is outside of New York City and has had a lot of meeting room demand, especially post-pandemic. So people don't have to go into New York City. They can go to Felicia's gorgeous space, look at these photos. So this landing page, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on, I'll spend a little bit of time on sort of the key elements of a landing page, but you're probably going to hire somebody like a Ruben to tell you what you need on a landing page. Lots of beautiful photos, a description with keywords. And she also is cross-promoting dedicated desks and private offices, but it says contact us to book. So she's letting them know we also have these things, but you got to go find our website and do this, you know, separately. So she's got a variety of photos of different types of meeting spaces, which is awesome. This is not the fanciest page you've ever seen. It's designed to convert. So don't judge it on aesthetics. This was really designed to convert. So some benefits. And then there's a singular button, which is pricing and availability, and you have to fill out a form. Now, I would like them to be able to book this directly through Office R&D, which I know Felicia uses. There's probably a reason for this, which is that they're trying to track. So, or maybe you get, let's see what happens when we do this. Maybe I get access as soon as I, oh, testing. As soon as I send this, you should not test because it'll make the team crazy. Okay, perfect. So this is brilliant. I have punched in my contact info. So now the Haven team can follow up with me, but I can also book directly. So yes, I am going to be able to book directly. Ruben thinks his Google ad got a conversion, so I have to tell him to change that. And my screen share is making this move really slowly. But you can see this is like really, really focused on meeting room conversions. So book now, which I can do right here on this page, which is awesome. There was no navigation to anything else. And they collected my information, which is also amazing from a sales funnel perspective. So now they know I'm interested and they can follow up with me. Okay, so just really quickly, I've stopped sharing now for those listening. What are the hallmarks of an effective landing page? Here are some best practices. You want clear and concise headlines. So you want to instantly communicate the value of whatever you're trying to get the conversion on. Private offices, shared offices, dedicated desks, meeting rooms. You want a compelling call to action. We talked about there was only one call to action on that page. And that was to get me to click the button to get availability on the meeting rooms and to collect my info and then let me book immediately if I wanted. You're going to focus on benefits over features. So highlighting how your space solves problems or your meeting room or how it enhances your meetings or whatever it is that you're selling. You want to use high quality imagery. We talked about how Felicia was really showing off her space with visuals that showed how gorgeous her and professional her meeting room spaces are. Yours might not be that. Yours might be like quirky and creative or full of plants or whatever it is that is right for your ICA, but make sure you show that off really well. Social proof. I don't know if I noticed any testimonials on that site, but that might be important if you're selling memberships. Making sure it's mobile friendly. Definitely do this test. If it's not mobile friendly, you're going to lose half of your traffic or more. And then a fast loading page. That is a really big deal. And I want to talk about, I don't want to go totally out of order here, but you want to make sure that page is performing before you drive traffic to it. So you might do an organic test. You might put a little budget behind it, but you're not going to blow out your budget until you see if it works. So we do landing pages all the time. So we have a landing page that's up that's promoting some resources that we have that are free. And I will tell you, it tanked. I'm still working on it. And so we go through this checklist of like, why is it not working? I think it's the messaging. And the messaging is really hard, right? Meeting room messaging is pretty straightforward. So that is probably requires less testing. But we our theory on our landing page is that our messaging is not compelling. It's not specific enough around the benefits to get folks to opt into this free resource. So we're working on it. But we went through this checklist of, okay, is the imagery confusing? Is it loading slowly? And guess what? It was loading slowly. Janelle on our team was kind of going through this checklist because she is a little bit of a landing page expert. And so she came back with a list of things that we needed to get updated with the team that we're working with to do this project. And they had to fix some of the issues that were keeping the page from loading quickly because people are really impatient and lazy and will just completely give up on you if it takes more than like an instant for your page to load. So that's super important. But let me tell you, I'll just kind of go down some details right now about this landing page that's still not working. We were running promotions to it. We were spending some money on it and it was converting like not at all. It's a total disaster. You have to be in the experimentation mindset. It is hard not to take these things personally, but you cannot get emotional about it. You just have to say, well, okay, why isn't it not working? Put your sort of, you know, scientist hat on and just kind of go through the checklist and keep tweaking and keep testing. And sometimes I tend to get into the mode of thinking it's not beautiful enough. I really love beautiful landing pages. Guess what? Doesn't matter how pretty it is if it's not convincing someone that what you have is what they want. Hey there, I'm jumping in again. This time, I'm speaking to those of you that are either getting ready to hire a community manager or who have a community manager and you would like to support their training and development. We know how challenging it can be for co-working space operators to create their own training and development material to support their community managers. And this is so important in terms of onboarding new community managers and supporting the growth of your existing community managers. And we're getting towards the end of the year. What a great holiday gift, end of year gift to give to your community manager. So the platform is really around a couple of things. One is access to a community of like-minded folks. We have a very active Slack group with really wonderful questions that are posed every single day. And we find that's one of the biggest values. We have community managers from all over the world. And this is an excellent group of community managers that have invested time and effort into getting better at that role. And they are the kind of folks that you want your community manager to be by and hanging out with. And they know their stuff. Or sometimes they don't, and they ask questions and we help them out. So I'm in the group. We have coaches that are in the group to support them. So we love when they ask questions for things they need help with. Because the other aspect of the program is really around helping them get resources they need to make their jobs easier and to learn things that they can use in their role to be better at their job. So we provide some done-for-you resources like Google Business posts, detailed event ideas, et cetera, that they can just kind of grab and go and use. And we also provide monthly resources that add to our training library so they can do our certification. And then we have a lot of electives that help them kind of get better at all the things that go with the role. So our community managers wear a lot of hats. So we break our content into industry knowledge for new community managers, community building, operations, sales and marketing, and leadership. So the leadership bucket is great for our more advanced community managers. We also have virtual office and digital mail training and coffee training for anybody who needs to know how to use commercial coffee brewers. So we have some of the, I'm just going to give you kind of a sampling of content that we have. So in our community building modules, we have hosting your first member events, building community with budget-friendly events, member event swipe files, our sales and marketing modules. We have tour training. We have the training on the full co-working sales funnel so they understand what that looks like. We have social media planning frameworks. We have, what else do we have? Three simple steps to an effective marketing newsletter. These are just some of our samples. Ooh, these are some of our best utilized topics. Demystifying the process of letting your co-working members use your address for their Google business listing. How to close a tour. Operations modules. How to set up automations. How to do a new member onboarding audit. Simple ways to use AI to boost your productivity. We have over 40 courses in the program. So we cover kind of higher level topics, and then we also cover things that are timely, like the CMRA updates, Google business updates, et cetera. So we get together monthly to do official training, and we also host a best practice sharing call, which is one of the fan favorites of the group and the Slack group. So if you have any questions at all about the program, don't hesitate to reach out. You can learn more and register at everythingcoworking.com/community manager. Now back to our episode. So we just pulled all the funding for this page until we can get it to convert from organic traffic. So no more money spent on it, because the team involved in the project spending a lot of money trying to get this to get inbound leads, and it wasn't working. And we were paying an agency to do the landing page. So we're still working on that, and we're going to get it to work, and we're going to then recommit our funding. But this is really important, because I think people tend to want to do all of the stages at once, which is okay, especially if you're launching and you have an empty space or you have something that's not selling well, like dedicated desks, for example, and you want to go hard at getting dedicated desks to sell, or even meeting rooms. Like, you know what? You know that demand is out there and you really want to pursue it. You should still go through the phase of assuming everything's a draft, test it, make sure it converts with a small amount of funding or a small amount of traffic, and then go. If you use every available channel to drive traffic to this, you're sort of wearing them out to some extent, right? And then you send them to this page that doesn't convert, it's unlikely you can get their attention again to the same page unless you do something really different. So you don't want to wear out your audience if you're in a smaller market. So if you're running Facebook ads, keep your budget small to start with, Google ads. If you're doing organic traffic, do not go out to all channels at once. Go to a channel at a time and then look to see how that page converts. Now, somebody like Ruben, I should have Ruben on the podcast to talk about this, could tell you what he looks for in terms of a conversion rate. I'm looking for a conversion rate from like 15 to 25% on my free resource opt-in pages. So we just did a funding course that some of you might have been on. So we had an opt-in page for that. And it was at the same time that I had the fail going on. So I was nervous about this page, and I spent a lot of time on the messaging and the formatting, and that page converted very well. And I simply used a template from the landing page app or software that I use and just updated it. But I used the elements of the page that I know work from other successful landing pages that we have. And it's fairly simple, and I didn't spend a lot of money on it. And I just kept my eyeballs on that conversion rate every day just to make sure it was working, and then really hit go on driving traffic to it once I knew, okay, it's converting in the range that I'm looking for. It's working. You know, I've got everything, you know, pretty much right. And you can still use tools like Hotjar. I remember this has been around for a long time. My early member at MySpace in Chicago, his name is Olip. He still is in marketing, I think, and still lives in Chicago. He was actually on the podcast 100 years ago, but he recommended Hotjar, which folks still recommend. And I'm about to launch my new website, and we'll probably put it up on that. It follows like user traffic and their motions and where they go. So if you were looking at your generic website and you send someone to the homepage, there's a lot of places people could go in order to, that is not where you want them to go if you're trying to get them to take a specific action. So it might look kind of all over the place, but if you go to a landing page that doesn't have any navigation, it has one call to action, you can see what people are looking at, where people are spending time, and you can get some insights on your page to help optimize it. Okay, so in general, you want to test campaigns before you drive a lot of traffic to them. Don't do traffic and testing all at once. Here's one other way to do this, which if you're in a bigger market, you might be able to do. And like for email campaigns, you can do this with ActiveCampaign. You can probably do it with Flowdesk and MailChimp. You can A/B test or split test where you send people to. So you could have two separate landing pages with different messaging or different images and drive your traffic to the two different campaigns. You can, in ActiveCampaign, for example, test subject lines. I never do this because I think you probably need a bigger audience in our little co-working niche. It's kind of hard to get there, but if you're in a big market, you might be able to A/B test. It's also probably just a good marketing concept to understand in case you can find ways to do that at when it, where it makes sense. So a big agency would always do this for a bigger company that has a huge audience and enough people to really get sort of significance around the outcome. You may not have this. I often don't have it either. It's like retargeting. If you want to run a retargeting ad in Facebook, you need 1,000 views on your website in order to do that. So sometimes that can happen quickly for something as specific as a landing page that in a smaller market that might take time to build. And so running retargeting or A/B testing can be harder if you have a smaller sample size. But if your sample size is big enough, you can try to split test and see which messaging is working better at the same time. So instead of testing one and then the other one, you can do them at the same time, which is great. So think about that A/B testing. So let's see, what else do I want to talk about here? Metrics. Okay, so make sure you have a way to check your metrics that's pretty easy. This is one of the reasons you can do it if you have Google Analytics. Hold on, it's called, still called Google Analytics. We're in between websites, so we're a little behind on our Google, is it GA4 setup? So we use landing pages that are not on our website generally. Some of them are. So they have their own analytics, which I find to be helpful. You can add Google Analytics on top of it. But whether you're using your website, make sure you have Google Analytics set up or some analytics if you're using some other web landing page technology so that you can see, okay, how much traffic am I getting to the page? What does my conversion look like? You want to make sure you're having enough traffic so that the conversion data looks accurate. If you have 10 people show up to your landing page, your conversion data is not going to be very meaningful. You need a pretty good sample size. You know, it's hard for me to say what exactly that should be, but I would say over 100 to make sure that that data is significant. So, and even 100 may still only be kind of directional. So you really want to make sure you're monitoring those, the traffic and the conversion rate. And if you're running ads, the return, the cost per lead, conversion ad, and return on ad spend. This is not a podcast about ads, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but just make sure you're tracking and monitoring it every so often, which can be hard. So I would add a tip here. If you're an independent operator and you want to do some of these things, get an accountability buddy. Put this on your weekly meeting with your community manager or pay somebody to help you with this because it can be really hard to keep up with these. I'm running podcast ads to my podcast right now, and I don't look at those metrics as often as I should. I'm sure that ad needs to be updated, and I have not gone back in and looked at it because I'm spending time on landing pages and other things. And those landing pages, my team and I look at them. So we look at the analytics and we make the changes so we know. So that's my accountability. So it's hard to, you know, do all of this on your own if you're independent. So you can do all of this on your own. It's an awful lot to learn if you've never created a landing page and thought about any of these things. So it's probably worth outsourcing. You can find resources on Upwork who do things like this and can help look at the analytics for you. And that may be a good way to create some accountability, is to have like an once every 2 week check-in. Once things are up and running, it might be something you need to do more often to start with. Maybe you have a member that does this work who really understands your business and is in the space and could have a check-in with you even more often, which could be great. Just don't do a trade with them. You pay them, they'll pay you. Okay, so I'm going to wrap this up. So you want to experiment, you want to test, you want to drive traffic once you know your landing page is working and converting, and then you can scale up your budget on getting traffic to that landing page. And just remember, it's not set it and forget it. You want to look at the analytics over time, and you want to, you know, continue to test, continue to learn, and continue to adapt, which you might need an accountability buddy for. So know yourself. Okay, so I'm going to wrap there. We have some great interviews coming up. Remember, our key takeaway from today is test before you invest and try to be data-driven in your marketing efforts versus running on intuition or just wanting to kind of get everything going all at once, because we want you to save time and money and ensure that you are using your resources to help your co-working space thrive. If you have some stories or lesson learned from testing your own marketing strategies, because this is how this topic came up, was talking to one of our startup school students who had some awesome insights. This got me really thinking about this topic. So I love to hear them. Send us a DM on Instagram, send us an email. Until next time, I'll see you next week. Same time, same place. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you like what you heard, tell a friend, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a rating and review. It makes a huge difference in helping others like you find us. If you'd like to learn more about our education and coaching programs, head over to everythingcoworking.com. We'll see you next week.